Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host, and I just want to give a gratitude, big thanks, big giant thanks to Don Newsom and Seth over at BBS Radio for giving us this wonderful platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood. And Spiritual Hollywood is a springboard for, we hope, all kinds of transformation in the entertainment industry. And speaking of entertainment industry, we have with us tonight Gary Malkin, and our topic is award-winning innovation. And this man, I mean, next to that term in any book should be his picture. If you want to go to his website, it's www.wisdomoftheworld.com, and I'll spell that out. It's www.wisdomoftheworld.com. And Gary is a very interesting person. I haven't met anyone quite like him before, and there's so much greatness in this person that I don't think if he had three lifetimes he would ever really get all his greatness, but we're going to work on him tonight and see if we can open up some more of that greatness out of him. I hear him laughing in the background. Gary has enjoyed a highly successful career for nearly 30 years, having received numerous Emmys, ASCAP awards, and Clios that have acknowledged his work in film, television, commercials, and CD productions. Gary Malkin is an award-winning composer, producer, and public speaker dedicated to catalyzing social change and individual healing through the creation of inspiring music, infused resources, and events. His passion for humanizing role that music and the arts can play in society's institutions, healthcare, religion, education, philanthropic, and corporate cultures consistently inflames the hearts and minds of his audiences through media projects, keynote presentations, training sessions, and performances around the globe. In 1992, with the birth and near death of his daughter, a desire emerged to use his gifts in service to the world in more meaningful ways. Since that time, he's been immersed himself in social benefit products, promoting the use of music and transformational media to promote peace, environmental sustainability, and an integration of mind, heart, and spirit in all that we do. He's the founder of Musaic and Wisdom of the World, a life-enhancing media production company and website. He's also the co-founder of Care for the Journey, a groundbreaking Care for the Caregiver initiative for healthcare professionals. So without further ado, I'd like to bring Gary Malkin to you.
My goodness, what a litany. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Gary.
Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could make it. Like I said, and I wasn't kidding, there's, you know, and I know we've had a 45-minute conversation on a conference call a couple of weeks ago, and in that little bit of time with you on the phone, I heard so much greatness endeavoring to just break out of you, you know, after all of your accomplishments and achievements, there's still so much more of you to unfold that I just don't think you really realize it. And the things you've already accomplished are things that, you know, anybody would hope to do half that much in their lifetime.
Wow.
And you just want to do so much more, and I know you're capable of it, and
I'm so
thrilled that you're in the world and doing these things.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, God, it's so wonderful to have a platform and to watch the evolution of not only our culture but our planet start to turn towards integration of spirituality and more meaning-based media. And it's something that I've been working on and praying for and actually participating in for the last 25 years. So it's kind of like our time has come.
It totally has. It's a wonderful time to be alive.
Fabulous.
And I know that I personally believe that we incarnate in soul groups, and that you know, throughout eternity you keep incarnating with like your community of soul groups, and you know, along your path in human spirit form, in physical form, we re-encounter each other.
Yes.
And it feels to me like this really wonderful, beautiful community is coming together of this just whole group of light workers, one of which you are, is just coming forth and beginning this process that can't be denied, and there is a momentum that can't be stopped. There's nothing could stop it, and that's the beautiful thing about this time that we're being alive, because you know, many, many years ago, if someone even said half the things we wake up knowing in our head about spirituality and divinity and who we really are and what we're really doing here, we would have been burned at the stake as heretics. And honestly, and that's like just when you wake up in the morning, don't you automatically have gratitude for your life?
Well, not only, you know, not only do I have gratitude, but I also know the medicine of gratitude, and it's its own best reward, but it's also a modality to change the way you look at everything through. I mean, when you look through the eyes of gratefulness, I actually love the word gratefulness even more than gratitude, because you're filled with this great fullness that overflows into gratitude. I love that, an expression of blessing others. I mean, what's really interesting is looking through the eyes of gratitude is really hard when things aren't going well, but it strengthens the muscle for trust and faith when you can practice gratitude no matter what the circumstances. And I'm going through something with my family. My sister has brain cancer, and we just found out a few days ago that we thought we were licking it, and after 9 months, and a few days ago we found out that the tumor grew back. And so we're in the middle of this very, very real life drama, and to try to find gratefulness in the midst of that, honestly, I don't think I could do it without what I call the nonlinear medicine art forms, you know, music and ways to raise my vibration, or else I'd just go crazy.
Well, and I know that gratefulness and gratitude are, I mean, when you really harness the medicine of that, of gratitude and gratefulness, that's the key to your soul.
Right.
I believe that when you can really master that, that nothing will be denied of you, because you become grateful for every single thing, every challenge, everything that looks like it's not so much fun, everything that looks like it's a crisis, like your sister, for instance. When you come from a place of gratefulness and gratitude, you see that there's perfect divinity even in that.
Well, you know, I think you're right, Kate. I think it's really interesting you seized upon gratitude, because it is kind of the real secret, you know. It's actually the actual secret. Because I noticed that, you know, you haven't mentioned it yet, but one of the things that put me on this map more overtly in terms of consciousness and media has been the work Graceful Passages, which we'll talk about later. But
yes,
the reason why...
Let me... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to let our listeners know that we'll be putting on Be Here Now, which is a beautiful orchestration of yours. It's 2 minutes and 12 seconds long. We'll be doing that at exactly 6:25. So we're going to just prepare the listeners for that, and just please go on with what you were saying.
And what I was saying was I was kind of introducing that because it's an excerpt of this work that has changed my life. And what it is, I 10 years ago started working with my former partner Michael Stillwater, and went around the world recording the voices of wisdom keepers with Ram Dass, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, Thich Nhat Hanh, many, you know, Rabbi Zalman Schachter, and all these amazing people. And we asked them, if you were going to die tomorrow, what would you say to the one person you love most in this world? And edited the recording and then scored it as if it were a major motion picture with full orchestra and all the digital means available to me. And the reason I'm bringing it up is what I learned from working on this project starting 10 years ago, and it was released 7 years ago now, is that just as counterintuitive as it is to turn into the skid when you're running out of control in a car, to turn into the acceptance of the thing you most fear, meaning what the culture most fears is dying, death, it turns out to be, ironically, the most potent tonic for gratitude and for life's inspiration. It's so strange, but the more you can face the reality of our mortality, the more you can actually experience gratefulness for being alive. And it's so phenomenal, because then you feel like, yahoo, I'm alive, fantastic. And it's a way of approaching life. And honestly, to use this format that you'll hear a piece of is just one of the many ways that we can wake ourselves up out of the slumber of denying the reality that life is a sexually transmitted terminal condition.
Yeah. Did you say only sexually transmitted.
That's what life is, isn't it?
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes, but right
okay.
now, I just want to let our listeners know that your website is www.wisdomoftheworld.com, and if you click on products, you can go to Graceful Passages, and I believe you've got some really lovely listenings there that are free so people can sample Graceful Passages, do you not?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, by the way, when you go, if you go to YouTube also and click on, write in Brother David Steindl Rast, that's Steindl-Rast, you'll actually get a free YouTube video that I created with Brother David, who's the godfather of gratefulness, and he's the founder of gratefulness.org. And it has this wonderful visual, what I call media medicine or wisdom film, where you get to experience Brother David speaking about gratitude with my music, and I put the whole thing together. And if people listen to it every morning as their morning meditation, and it's a great, and it's free. You don't have to, you just can look at it on YouTube. It's wonderful. So,
great. Can you give that one more time?
If you go to gratefulness.org, you can actually click on either the audio or the video of this piece, but you can also get it on YouTube by writing in Brother David Steindl Rast, and the last name is Steindl-Rast.
Oh, very good. Great. I'm going to do that as soon as this interview is over so that I can take a look at that myself.
Good.
Yeah, and one thing that really got my attention when I happened upon your website was this Graceful Passages, and I'm real excited for the Be Here Now 2-minute and 12-second piece to be played in about 2 minutes, and it just really, really got me. I mean, it's like you can't listen to these passages without being changed. You just can't. And you found some way in the way you've orchestrated every single one of them to raise a person's frequency.
Go ahead, Kate.
To shift their frequency, to shift their paradigm, to make them think differently. You know, it almost needs to come with a disclaimer that if you're not ready to transform, don't listen to it.
Well, you know, I honestly believe that I have come upon a true eureka experience, which is when you combine the spoken word coming from a place of authenticity, the way Ram Dass speaks in this thing you're about to hear in a minute. Again, this is the first recording of Ram Dass after his stroke, by the way. It was the first time he went into the studio. But when you combine that with scoring his words as if it's a film, the alchemy that results is life-changing. And if you listen to this, don't just listen to the words, but listen to the way your mind processes cognitive and musical information at the same time. And in a delightful way, it tilts the need of the mind to track things. And it literally transforms you into another state of consciousness if you listen to it in a surrendering way. So I invite you guys to check it out when you listen to this.
Right, and surrendering way is the key phrase there, because one of my life's passions is to create a world that is willing to have higher awareness, altered state of consciousness towards their divinity, a willingness, because, you know, the way we're raised and conditions as they are, it's not easy to believe in yourself, and this kind of work really helps us remember who we are. And it's now 6:25, so whenever you guys are ready over there at VBS Radio, just let us know and put on that beautiful piece, and we'll stand by.
Is it playing?
Not yet. I'm still talking. I hear it. Let's see.
be here now. Don't anticipate. Don't yearn for things of the past. Let the past go with forgiveness. And let the future go with no anticipation. Each of us contains a being that doesn't die and a being that does die. Everything must change except the soul. Preparation for dying is done by identifying with your soul, not your ego.
Wow, that's just a gorgeous, gorgeous passage. And I know that as we were off the air while the passage was playing, Gary, that you know, you were describing to me what Ram Dass was actually providing for people who were having a death experience, be it crossing over from their physical body to the other side, or ego death, which could be a complete transformation of their what I call the host. We are the host for a spirit, and when a person is plagued with disease or dis-ease, what you want to do is go about changing the host so the disease won't recognize it.
Right, right.
And when you do that, you've like, for instance, with your sister, I read a book called Miracles of the Mind, and the first story in there, the physicist who was found to have brain cancer metastasized. I mean, it was
right.
The final stages. He had 2-3 weeks to live, and they wanted to set him up for chemotherapy, but it was the holidays like it is now, and they wouldn't be available till after New Year's, so he had to wait. So he thought, well, what have I got to lose? He's a scientist, he was an atheist, you know, and he thought, what have I got to lose? So he found this healer that he'd heard about before, and he went to her, and he told her that they had, you know, he'd seen his x-rays, and there's all these tumors, and it's metastasized, and he's got this diagnosis of dying in a few weeks, and he has to do chemotherapy. And he said to her, please, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. She said to him, go into prayer every morning, every afternoon, every evening. Seek out a community of prayer where you pray with people and allow them to pray with you. And this is an atheist. And she also told him to only watch spiritual things for television or film or entertainment, and only talk about things that he wanted in his life rather than focus on the tragedies of the world or what might be going on in his body. And she told him that the x-rays he saw were just pieces of film with spots on them, and they made no difference to his life whatsoever, and that he believed that. And he did that for 2 weeks. He went back to the doctor to be seen again for the chemotherapy team. They found no trace of cancer in his body, and he's fine today. And he wrote this book called Miracles of the Mind with the healer. And I can tell you the author's names in case our listeners want to pick that up, in case you want to read it, Gary, or give it to your sister. Miracles of the Mind was written by, where is it? Russell Targ. It's R-U-S-S-E-L-L.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I know all about that, right.
PhD. And that was a pretty transformational thing to happen to a physicist. And
exactly. I know that. Go ahead.
There's a delay on the interview too, but there's a lot of things that we just don't know that we're learning.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I love about music and why I keep on coming back to music is music. The experience of music is in itself like prayer. And it has that kind of vibrational frequency, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that we've only scratched the surface of what even music applications and strategies are capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had countless experiences, either as the artistic director for global healing conferences abroad with Desmond Tutu, all the way to at the bedside of people who are dying. And when music is used intentionally to shift people's presence, bringing everybody into a state of presence. There's nothing like it when you use it intentionally and consciously. And so that's what I found was extraordinary, is when you combined it with someone speaking from authenticity like Ram Dass in that moment,
mm-hmm.
or prayer like you just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
It's about coming into a state of resonance.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do feel like we're just entering the dawn of a new era where the arts can be more intelligently and more holistically integrated into our daily lives so that they can catalyze ourselves into the state of prayer without even knowing that that's what we're in the state of, if you know what I mean.
I do.
You know, listening to a piece of music could actually be bring you to a state of prayer without even knowing that that's what you're doing. That's the power of the arts.
It is, and that's why there's a Spiritual Hollywood radio show, because that's what we're bringing that out as much as we can, everywhere we can, to the world, because I believe the entertainment industry is one of the most powerful communication tools that we have today.
Well, you know, Kate, what I say is that, well, two things. First of all, around the media world, that it is the most potent catalyst or effector of the nervous systems on the planet, and I really do feel like it is the nervous system of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scary thought when you think about the media world and how much it's abused,
mm-hmm.
And what effect it has on our nervous systems, but I really agree with you. And the other thing I say about music that I love is that music is the last unregulated drug. And and so both of those speak to this energy, this thing you're talking about the power that is really been unleashed or not fully tapped. Let's put it that way.
No, yes, yeah. Has been unleashed, and we're still discovering just what we can do with it. Like, you know, the atom bomb, when they discovered that, it was, you know, ginormous, and it changed things very quickly. So, we didn't know that the internet was available until we stumbled upon it, but it's been there the whole time, right?
We didn't know
that birds could fly until somebody had a vision that they could and a belief about that they stuck to until they saw it through. So, you know, whatever you think is not possible, just remember that the internet has always been there, and now we're utilizing it, and it's changed the entire world. It's put us in touch with people all over the world in a second, and there's just nothing we cannot have, do, or be.
And
to know that and to be excited about that and to be present with that and believe that can change your life all in itself. So to have music as, you know, a kind of drug, as you say, that's legal and very pleasurable and can change your life in 2 minutes and 12 seconds if you let it. You have to surrender yourself to it, of course, because free will is our birthright. And if you don't use your free will, then, you know, willingness is everything. If you're not willing, nothing's going to change. Nothing will.
You know, Kate, what you're saying is so profound, because that willingness component is very much like, you know, when you sit in a movie theater if you're not attentive, if you're not interacting with the film and giving it your full attention, or if you're in a live performance and you're actually just completely dull in your energy and you're not receptive and present and not listening, you're not doing your part of the possibility of what transformation can occur. But when you partner with what by giving it your full presence and attention, that's when the connection is made. Most of the time, the work that's created isn't worthy of our attention. And that's why most people's attention spans are so challenged now, because a lot of the stuff that has been created up till now has not been worthy of our sacred attention. And I really hope that the whole reason I created Wisdom of the World was to model and demonstrate things that are worthy of our sacred attention, of the fullness of our being. And frankly, every film project I ever score now, it's really has to satisfy a certain requirement, which is it going to add value in some way to the planet? Because this is not a rehearsal. So, I just feel like that whole interactive component is often really underestimated, but it's very, very key.
It is. And, things that are worthy of our sacred attention, and I love that term, are becoming more and more prevalent. There's a person called Coot Blackson who is using music and spoken word together and is making a phenomenal difference all on his own. He's quite amazing. He's a young man, and he's got Love Now as a movement, lovenowmusic.com if you want to check him out.
Oh, yeah. I loved that video. That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
He's a client, and he's on a pilgrimage right now in India with a young woman who sought him out and said, I have to go with you. And he takes one client at a time on a pilgrimage through India and has them ride on trains with the poor and live like the poor and turn over all their worldly goods to him, their passport, their money, their everything, and trust him as he leads them through India into a new life. And he's done this quite a few times, and he's on one right now. He'll come back January 5th. He just sent us email from India saying that he watched bodies burn today and that what a significant thing that was to witness in India. So, the client he's taking is a corporate woman, and she just wanted to experience life to the fullest and decided that this is one of the ways she was going to learn to appreciate being in her physical body.
That's tremendous. Tremendous.
It is tremendous. And this guy is a very young man, and he's been a minister since he was 14.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I believe you've been a minister for your whole life, and you chose the path that you chose intuitively because you knew the power it could have. And you believed yourself right into it up to this very moment, to the point where, you're starting to really get to your greatness.
Well, Kate, it's funny you say that, but I don't often divulge this on the air, but I will say it because for some people out there that might be listening that who haven't had the benefit of believing, is that I've struggled a lot in my life with negative self-talk and of not believing in myself, and the spiritual work that I've done has really freed me up from the prison of superego, negative self-talk that really has been quite a journey. And I'm so grateful that I don't have to subject myself to, one insult after the other by my own superego critic any longer.
Yeah, the committee.
But for people who are in the midst of that and they can't turn that radio off in their heads, it's a hell. And it's not an endless prison. There is freedom from that. And it's that, and honestly, most people think you have to get it through the conventional spiritual paths. But a lot of what I'm doing with Wisdom of the World and other things is the power of media and music to use that to quiet the mind from that sort of thing. I mean, you can focus on your favorite art form. And again, if you give it your attention, these kinds of things can fall away. So I have not been the beneficiary of that kind of belief all my life. However, at the coarse level, when I was 5 years old and I started playing piano, there was something way more brilliant than any superego critic in me that knew from the moment I touched the piano that this was God. This was what was going to sustain me and save my life. And music has been my friend for now 50 years. I'm 55 now, and it's been my portal into the unseen realms, really. And saved my life.
So
in that sense, I have believed in myself, at least musically, for sure.
Right. And that was your saving grace that pulled you out of all of those challenges that you've been through yourself. And
right.
As I was listening to you, I got an analogy in my mind, and tell me what you think about this. It's just formulating as I'm saying it. You know, we partner with the Internet every single day, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We rely on the Internet. We have to partner with the Internet to get the things that we need to do done, because technology now is such that we rely on the Internet, right?
Right.
Okay, if we would partner with Source Energy in the same way we partner with the Internet, how much better off would we be?
That's great. That's really great. No, I totally think that's, you know, it's scary how we rely our whole foundation of our lives on technology that could go out the moment satellites end, you know. So, yeah.
It's not going to go out. It's going to always be there.
I know. That's the best kind of Internet you're talking about.
Exactly. So let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I bet you're going to be great about it. If you could think of some action steps for our listeners right now to partner with Source Energy just the same way they partner with the Internet, what would you say to the listeners to be their first maybe three or four things that they'd want to do?
You know, I am a big fan of the ecstatic poets, Rumi and of Kabir, and mm-hmm. they follow the holy longing as the source itself. So what I would first go to is follow the thread of your longing, of the thing that makes you, that touches your heart and heart's desire.
Mm-hmm.
When you follow that thread, it's so simple but so profound. So I would start with anything that rests your heart and mind and spirit, makes you feel better, whether it's a walk or nature or whatever, or listening to the right kind of music or even going, whatever, movie, whatever, following the thread of pleasure and longing. And
mm-hmm.
not that addiction place, but that pleasure
right.
that really drops you in to that state of wholeness and resonance that you might not have those words for it, but that's the first thing I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, it's just, the studies have shown, I'm a real student of brain scanning, brain science these days,
mm-hmm.
that we are hardwired for empathy, connection, and relationship. We are
mm-hmm.
actually hardwired for it. We actually have anatomical correspondence and biochemical tools that enable us to connect with one another and create mirror neurons that will duplicate compassion and intent across the air between us. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like we are designed to connect to other human beings, and in a way that promotes and enhances our compassion and our empathy and our ability to be in relationship. And that's another powerful portal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So am I answering? Am I doing well? Is that kind of what you were asking me?
Yeah, you're doing great. Now that last part that you said about, that we're hardwired for connection and relationship and empathy and compassion and all of that, what would you say to people who don't really want to be around other people? If they're hardwired to be around other people and connect and have compassion and empathy and have relationship and they're reclusive, what would you say to a person like that to help them have the willingness to follow their hardwired true nature?
I would say that that's a sign of an aberration that requires indulging. So that requires giving yourself personal time without anyone around to restore your relationship to yourself and Source. So the most powerful place you would go in that state is what I would call going right into the heart of nature somewhere. Nothing is more powerful. No psychologist, no psychiatrist, no therapist, no spiritual teacher is more powerful than being around natural wilderness. It restores you on every level.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a chance to come back into alignment so that you can feel again your natural proclivity for this hardwired thing you're capable of. But if you don't feel naturally desiring to be around anybody in connection, It's it, rather than fight it or make yourself wrong for it, the best thing is to give yourself then the most satisfying form of connection with yourself and Source. So I would say don't force yourself then or make yourself wrong. I would say, and you know, and I'm a big proponent in using media that as long as it's not feeding that addiction, using media, whatever drops you into what I call a state of integrated presence, which is an ongoing relationship with your body, mind, heart, spirit, and soul. And and that nature for me is it. It might not be that for everyone, but that is a clue that if you don't, I mean, I get to the point where I'm going through such hard times sometimes that the only thing I can do is be alone, and I have to have it be nourishing. And so anyway, those are the things that come up for me in response to that question. I don't know what this has to do with spiritual Hollywood, but
I think it's a lot to do with it, because actors in this business and producers and writers, and you know yourself, high stress, you know, you hear there's going to be an actor strike and all of a sudden, you know, the rumor intensifies and intensifies and intensifies to the point where people give up and stop trying 6 months before anything ever happens rather than believe that they're going to thrive through whatever that is. So, it has a lot to do with spiritual Hollywood, because for me, there's a place that I go to regularly. I go sometimes several times a week. I call it my national park, but it's actually Franklin Canyon off of Coldwater and Mulholland Drive. And you would believe that it was Yosemite when you drive into that place. You're right near the city. You just drive a few minutes, and you're into this beautiful national park atmosphere. And I can't get enough of that. And it really reboots me, centers me, gets me back to my core. And you know, being in the entertainment industry, I'm a talent manager. I've been for almost 3 decades. And I still am actively doing that. And I'm coaching clients, I'm coaching myself, and I don't coach anyone with anything that I haven't used on me and had it work. And, you know, and I need to go to some place to recharge my batteries, because I'm giving all day long, and I love it. That's why I'm here. And I also must recenter myself, or I have nothing to give. So this has a lot to do with spiritual Hollywood. It has a lot to do with the world.
Yeah, well, thanks for clarifying that, because I really see what you're talking about. And and not only that, if we can't tap into the infinite source of wholeness that's available at all times, then how can we possibly be creative if we want to be creative and be a generative source for others in the work that we do? So I totally agree with you. And you know what's so funny is when you're in the state of lack of resonance, you forget all this stuff.
You get amnesia. You know, it's like that. And you know, when you're anxious, you can't be creative when you're anxious.
I know.
You just can't. It won't come. And for someone who's walking out on their first night of a play, opening night, and they've got the lead and they've got those lines in their head, if they're anxious, they're not going to remember them. So Hollywood is so vital to reach out to a power greater than yourself. And, you know, we use the internet every day, and I can't help using that analogy because it's so perfect. We use the internet every day. You know, we've got it on our BlackBerry or our Trio or our iPhone or whatever we got out there. We can't go anywhere without the internet now. Well, the same is true for Source Energy. It's there isn't any place that God is not. So for people to walk on the stage anxious, not remembering there's no place where God is not, they're going to stumble. So it's vital for people in the entertainment industry to find a power greater than themselves. And I'm writing a book called The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever, which is introducing the entertainment industry to our spiritual rock stars of our day. And I would love to interview you for this book, too, because I'm not finished with it yet. And it needs the voice of someone like you in it. I've got Neil Donald Walsh, James Redfield, about 12 different leaders and visionaries of our day who I interviewed 300 actors, and only 85% of them didn't know any of these people. Like a good...
You're saying 85% did not know these people?
Did not know who these people were. Did not know who Neil Donald Walsh was. Did not know who Eckhart Tolle is. Did not know Ram Dass. Did not know Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Well, you know, though, I have to say, part of what's going on right now is this renaissance of convergence and integration. And I'm not surprised that they didn't know it, because for the longest time, the consciousness movement and its proponents were speaking to the choir. And now it's incumbent upon everyone that has done all their inner work, who has things to offer, like the people you mentioned, to actually find ways to deliver and embody and communicate their messages in ways that will communicate outside the choir. And frankly, not to self-promote, but that's the core of what I'm creating. WisdomOfTheWorld.com is going to be, the new website's going to be launched in about a week, and I'm so excited about it, because
Great.
it's going to be having wisdom films, 5-minute films of spoken word leaders from around the world integrated with music and images, and you can download it to your phone. You'll be able to purchase these things, and for 5 minutes, we need to find more aesthetic, more inspiring, more beautiful ways to use the power of film that has, you know, wowed us for 100 years as a delivery system for consciousness and awakening. And I see this time as, I'm not the only one that's doing this, but I'm kind of have my own vision of how to do it, but I'm so excited that many of us are now crossing the lines to other audiences besides the choir, and I'm delighted about it.
Guess what you just said?
What?
Are you aware of what you just said?
What did I just say?
You just said that you are using the internet to help people plug into source energy.
Oh, that's right, didn't I? In a matter of speaking.
You did, and because you said they're going to download it to their phone.
Right.
Now, they're using the internet everywhere with them. Do you see how clever you are that you did that?
Yeah, you're good, Katie.
Okay, so this is a great thing that I don't think you see yet.
Yeah, you're right.
This is big.
Right.
This is big, and this is truth, and this is what you're doing, and you are very, very important. Not to make it an ego thing, but your calling is so profound that it is every bit as important as the movie The Secret or anything. Your desire and your drive is so authentic and genuine that nothing can stop what's in your heart from getting out into the world. And
Thank you.
Yes, you did blend it with the internet, and that's why I used that analogy, so I could come around and get you to see this.
Yeah, well, from your mouth to God's ears, may it finally, you know, the big question, Kate, that I still, you know, I'm putting myself out here in a big way where I'm, you know, raising money for the company and all that, is the jury is out as to whether the world, the culture, will be able to shift their way of thinking of media. And I mean, by media, I'm using a very large grab bag word to describe anything that engages the nonlinear arts, which includes poetry, film, media, you know, storytelling, music, visual media combined with music that we're calling film, all that. And up until now, the behavior of most humans has been to tune out and to de-stress or to couch potato or whatever, to use media as a way to stop being awake so that they can get through to another day. You know what I mean?
Of course I do. It's numbing the brains.
Numbing out, right.
Yeah.
Numbing out. Exactly. So what I'm wondering is, are human beings ready to look to media instead of that kind of cheese that's called numbing out cheese? Are they ready to look to the cheese that's actually awakening cheese, that's alivening cheese, that's inspiring cheese, that's what I call entertainment rather than entertainment?
Oh, my gosh. Coined my phrase.
I love that word. I love that word. And the question is, are we ready for that? And it's an evolutionary statement. I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm just going to finish the sentence and let you talk. It's a statement of our evolutionary readiness that I have no idea whether we are or not. I'm talking about the masses.
I hear you.
What do you think about that?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is, and you mentioned this earlier, so I'm going to challenge you to take it on for yourself because it came out of your own mouth. Is I'm going to believe it into being.
Great.
From the end result, and I'm going to believe that the masses are ready to saturate themselves with something that connects them to their true nature. You can't deny the truth when you hear it. That's why somebody is moved to tears in a movie, because one precious moment in that film captured them and brought them back to who they really are and helped them remember who they really are.
That's
and
right.
This kind of media, you can put it anywhere in any kind of story, and as long as it's not grotesquely violent or pornographic, which violence is pornography if you ask me, you can implement these beautiful messages, even if it's just through scoring the music, Gary, as you know, into people's natures and their hearts when they're sitting there watching a movie, when they're downloading things to their phone. People are, you know, they're bored most of the time and they want some entertainment. Honestly, if you gave everyone a big shot of truth serum and asked them what they prefer to watch, they would probably say something that makes them remember who they are.
Well, I hope you're right. So far, I want to be really honest. I'm not seeing the evidence of that yet in the masses. But I like you said, I want to believe that into being, and I'll join you in that. But I haven't seen it yet in the culture.
Well, do you know, okay, here's Acadianism. I have this philosophy here is, I used to say I'll believe it when I see it, but now I say I'll see it when I believe it.
And
and I know that every person on this planet has in their DNA what you just said you're not seeing yet. That's why I know it's going to come forth and come to fruition. That's why I know it. We're all made from the same star stuff. There isn't one of us on this planet that doesn't have it. And it's just a matter of finding the right formula to bring it forth.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that this is one of the reasons why it's so important that you're doing your show, because the biggest obstacle that I've seen to having the Hollywood world embrace consciousness has been that without the money flow to be proved that there is that audience, there hasn't been the money to pay for the finest music, the finest visuals, the finest HD, the finest editing, the finest, etc. And basically, because of the low common denominator, a lot of the stuff that has been conscious has been very poorly produced and not focused on the attention to detail that the film industry is capable of. And that's one of my raison d'etre. That's my pet peeve. And as a film composer who's worked on film and television for 30 years, my goal is to raise the bar for consciousness media so that there's no blank spot here. There's no line where, oh, that's, you know, very low production, for example, and you know, The Secret and that other, the first film, What the Bleep, had a significant amount of effect on raising the bar in that way. We've got a lot more to go, frankly.
Yeah, well, as I'm listening to you speak, and thank you for sharing that, I heard every word. How about this challenge, Gary? How about instead of finding a high-cost way to get that result, how about finding a way for it not to cost as much and have higher quality than the things that cost so much?
Well, actually, it doesn't have to cost a lot. I mean, the beautiful thing about consumer media is that everything's getting to be affordable and able to be produced by anyone, you know, who has a computer. So
exactly.
That's what's so great about the evolution of the media tools we have today. So
that funding isn't available for spiritual content because the quality is not as good as is high cost films.
Well, I what I'm saying is it still takes an enormous, when you talk about what it took to create a blockbuster film and the resources that went into, say, just to create the score itself. Like the film I just saw, Benjamin Button, for example, or whatever.
It was so good, wasn't it?
It was wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. It was beautiful.
Well, no, and you see, what was so beautiful about that film was that was a film that was steeped in the medicine of giving people an experience of space and time and the impermanence of life, which is a life lesson that has its own rewards, if you, like we talked about in the beginning of this hour. So I love that film. I love everything about it. And
oh, it made me just so grateful for my life, and I already was anyway, but it just really brought me back to, wow, I'm in these physical shoes. What can I create?
Yeah.
And it built a fire underneath me to the point where it's like, I'm waking up before daylight wanting to get out of bed and do something, and I just don't know what to do yet, but I will pretty soon because I'm practicing daylight to just get out there and create. I've got like 100 books in me that want to be written and so many things that I want to do, like produce films, and I've got one called Midnight Summer that's been with me for, oh my gosh, my lifetime, that just needs to come out. And then there's one called Soul Sleepers that needs to come out. So, you know, every person out there with this kind of stuff in your heart and this kind of desire and energy running through your veins, know that there's someone like Gary Malkin who can help you bring it forth. And someone like me, tell me about it. I'll tell the right person who can help you. You know, just tell somebody, you know, what's in your heart. Don't keep it to yourself. You're not here to be stingy. You're not here for getting. You're here for giving. And, you know, it's a ripoff to all of us if you don't share what's in your heart. Don't be embarrassed about it. Let it out. We want to know. It's enriching to us. And, you know, the only stupid question or comment is the one that doesn't get spoken.
Right. I agree.
So, yeah, so that's...
You go, girl.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, good.
Yeah, and it's open to expanding. So, you know, life is a beautiful odyssey, and I, you know, you can spell it any way you want to, ODD or AUD, it doesn't matter. It really is, and every single challenge is here to teach us something, and you know that, as our gratitude conversation earlier can vouch for, that, you know, when you start seeing the beauty in every single thing that happens to you and doesn't happen to you, then you really come to a place of a higher frequency and a higher energy that will attract to you what's in your heart. And, you know, if you don't know what that is, the universe doesn't know how to give it to you.
Yeah,
so the best thing you can do is distinguish that.
That's
and
great.
In this interview itself, Gary, you've distinguished so many things about, you know, what you want and what you see and how hopeful you are that it's coming. And you don't even have to be hopeful. Just know. Just have a knowing that it's here and give thanks for it as if it's here because it doesn't cost a thing to believe it.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. Well, you know, I have this quote that I'm moved to share right now, which is, I collect quotes about music and about media and stuff, and this one quote, I've never done this way, but I'm moved to share it. It's a quote from a woman that is from the National Association of Music Therapy, and I often quote it around music. But you can replace the word music with consciousness, you know, the word consciousness, or for that matter, conscious use of media, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And what the quote is, the music or media, conscious media, or consciousness itself,
mm-hmm.
can make the difference between withdrawal and awareness, oscillation and interaction, between chronic pain and comfort, and between demoralization and dignity. And we are just, there's a thin line between the choice to live life to the fullest with this sense of consciousness and gratitude and appreciation and the use of all the tools in our life, media, food, all the things that we've used to stay
mm-hmm.
alive,
mm-hmm.
and the choice to not go on the other side, to not avail yourself to the gifts that those provide. And I just love how it's all based on this choice in every moment. Are we going to be living or are we going to be dying? Are we in love or are we in fear, you know?
Yes, yes. And there's a line in Shawshank Redemption that I'll never forget.
Which one is that?
Either get busy living or get busy dying.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. I love that phrase. I love that film, too.
We're now at our last minute of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. Can you believe it went by so fast?
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great? See,
great.
It's a blink of the eye, so you might as well go create something wonderful. It doesn't cost a thing to think that you can, and if you don't believe you can, then you're right. And if you believe you can, you're right, too. So choose. Right?
Right. Well, it's been a lot of fun, and you want to give my website one more time so that people know who I am?
Yes, it's wisdomoftheworld.com. Please go there and listen to everything that there is available to listen to. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Gary Malkin, for being born. I'm just so pleased that you're on the planet.
You're a doll, and it's such a pleasure to be on this call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So go create the life that you came here to live. Good night, everybody.